something good.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. And greetings, everybody. So I listened to the show on Thursday. That's one thing that's fun about having something great to look forward to when I'm unable to do the show. That evening, I always make it a point to listen to it. And just want to say a special thank you to Anna, who was vacationing with her family, and so great. She just stepped right in and co-hosted. Yeah, which is we're so grateful. And scheduling in life is extremely unpredictable. So yeah, it was very last minute. I had no idea that I wasn't going to do the show until the day before, and had to be on set for a project that I'm involved with, and that's when it lined up for me to show up for that, and all is well. So yeah, should be getting off of the working 24/7 train, which seems to have been since spring. I don't even know, because everything's a blur. And outside of four days and change in Mexico, thank God, that's kept me alive. Thank goodness. But I really look forward to downsizing the work a little bit. And that will happen naturally. And as a matter of fact, when I was working on Thursday, I'm also working on another project simultaneously, which happened, which by surprise I got shortly before, I guess maybe a week before Labor Day, I got hired for that. So when another project presented itself that, and with film, especially independent film, it's always hurry up and wait. It's start, stop, start, stop. And that's just the nature of the beast. And so this was a project that I had been extremely supportive of the narrative and the young production team involved. But I pay attention. And the person I was dealing with would meet. I would provide a lot of information gratis. I believe in supporting, being fully present, being there at the ready to see how I could serve that project. But I noticed a pattern that we would be in communication, and then 2-3 months would pass. And I'm like, I'm good, because I'm going to keep it moving. You know, it's like, you know, there's more than one person on this dance card, trust me. So, you know, so I hear from this person after like a 3 month, you know, absence. And it was very interesting, because I started to connect the dots where, you know, I'm not really a big fan of being out of the loop. And it doesn't mean I need to know what's going on in every waking moment. But as a professional, as a courtesy, you know, kind of nice to, you know, if it's going to be a three-month hiatus, kind of nice to know that it's going to be a three-month hiatus or what have you.
Right.
You know, I'm good with two lines. Okay, just letting you know, I'm going to be, this is what we're doing. I'll be back in touch with you, you know, 3 months from now, whatever. Okay, just courtesy. So I noticed that, but not, it wasn't enough to be inflammatory or enough for me to take issue. Just, I like to observe, and then I observe to see if there's a pattern. So clearly this is like the third time. So maybe it was like since last February that this person started, January, February. So you think about that. Okay, so this is like the second or third time of like this hiatus situation. And then I felt how I was approached, that I had to no longer participate. So basically what they wanted to do was to cut corners. They wanted me to do like the really hard stuff, like look for the name type of actors for this, but they would do the rest locally. And that kind of devalues my role. To scout, that was the word that he used, to scout locally. I don't scout. I don't scout. Unless I'm getting some cookies, I don't scout. You know, that's not what I do. And this was very, you know, and again, super young group, whatever, and I thought, you know what, it's not worth it for me to go up to bat to sell this very challenging narrative and to not have the art of what I do. It's not about, oh, which you know, sort of main person am I assisting in the process, but what undiscovered gems that are local to me, not local to the location, that's what I do. So I'm like, oh, perfect. So you just created your own out, and I'm going to be a magician, and I'm going to make this go away. So I go through a little bit of a mourning process. I went through, you know, a day of when I really believe in a project, I really believe in the script of, okay, that's how they want to do it. And there's no need to explain or state your case, because if it's already been decided how they want to go, my explanations will fall on deaf ears. And who am I trying to, why am I trying to explain to someone who is a novice and it's not going to change anything anyway? So I, you know, I love just being not available. That's it. All, you know, I'm not available. So,
which is true.
And you know what? I don't lie. I just like to say no very eloquently and very poetically. Just said, well, since you were last in contact with me 3 months ago, I am now booked through most of 2017. And technically, I kind of really am. In theory, I am.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no lie. I just don't name names, but it's no lie. And and I actually was very generous. I actually gave very helpful information to help them get one said name. This is for free. So I give so you can't say nothing to me. You can go to this is a person's contact, this is their management, da 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 da. And all I ask is special thanks on the credits. You know, thank a girl. Thank a girl on the credits. Thank a girl on IMDb. Just thank a girl. Go ahead, just thank a girl. And I wish you all the best. And I wrote it to him and to somebody else who's working on it. And what's so interesting, I never dealt with the other person. I always dealt with him. He never got back to me. Okay. And I'm like, okay, this is good. She got back to me, and this was so revealing. And again, novice. And she says, oh, it's unfortunate that we can't work with you, da, da, da. Okay, whatever. But congratulations that you're working on bigger and better projects. Who said? Who said that? I didn't say I'm working on bigger and better. That's how you feel.
Right.
That's how you feel. And I want to say to homeboy, you want her to work for you? Because she should be all in. And see, that's the whole thing. That's why I was sad. I was all in.
Right.
I was all in.
Right.
And you got to be true, because I am confident that although, you know, I'm mourning not being part of this narrative, that's happened many times in my career, to know when to walk away and not be the person to compromise and save the day to, you know, one's own discomfort and one's own neglect of one's instincts. There you go. So that's good, because otherwise I would have talked about the third thing in the middle of the two things that I'm still dealing with, and and that would have been so ridiculous and my bad. That's responsible action.
Yeah.
And now I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Bye, boo boo. I'm good. Yep. God bless them. Good luck. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So great to be.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's the world that I navigate in. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. So, but what's great is that it's confidence tempered by a lot of hard work and a lot of risk taking and listening to your instincts and you know, being very, very present and very aware, and just embracing the growth and learning, and that, you know, we're always learning. It doesn't matter how long we've been doing what we're doing or how old we are chronologically.
Right.
Oh, speaking of chronological age, I just saw on Twitter today that, I don't know if it's law, I think is too strong. Maybe it's a law, I'm not sure. But there's a mandate now that on databases that give, I guess, industry databases that give information on actors who have worked in film and television, they're removing the chronological ages.
Really?
There's been a big yes. So you know that we've talked about IMDb, which stands for the International Movie Database, but they also have a version called IMDb Pro, which those of us in the industry use on a daily basis, and you have to pay for it, as well you should. It's an annual office expense for me for many years. And the pro version will give you access to publicists, managers, agents. These are the handlers. This is how we get the information to go through the very complicated and ridiculous process of the name game, which to me is like, I find it laughable, but it's just part of what I have to do in my job. And there's been a lot of backlash, and this is sad, especially from female performers, actresses, because it's prevented them from getting work, because they will have the birth date and the age. So, you know, if you were born in, you know, 1970, it's going to say 1970, 46 years old.
Right.
And that, you know, that especially with Hollywood, it's very stigmatized. It's stigmatized everywhere, but there. And
especially,
let me tell you, because I'm working on my first studio project now. I feel like a paralegal because half of it is contracts, but whatever. I'm like, I didn't know I got my law degree. Okay, great. But I'm learning. It's great because what's great, speaking of instincts, and thank God, this is why we have to use our intuition, because intuitively that has kept me on top of my game. I've never worked with these people before. They've known I've never done a studio film, and they get everything yesterday. They get everything, boom, boom, boom. And if I don't know how to do it, I figure it out. Boom, 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 boom. Mm. Yay, me. But working like forget about it. Every day it's just nonstop. But I know it's what I need to do for my personal level of professional standards. And just to have access to the conversations, how people, actors are such, they're a commodity. And forget it when we're talking about the girls. Forget it when we're talking about the women. And I said girls on purpose. Yeah. You know, forget that. Age never factors really that much with talking about the male roles. But oh, I'm hearing plenty. I mean, and I'm speaking up where I can very respectfully and within context. And what's wonderful is they have responded very favorably to my suggestions. The art of it is that you never call them out on their mistakes. That's the art of it. You never call them out when they've made, and they know it, they've made blatant mistakes. Then I respond, good to know, great information, and here's the da-da-da-da. So you never call them out on their mistakes, It's talk about the art of the dance. It's really funny. But anyway, good for whoever this coalition of women who were just so tired of not getting work. Chronological age is really not a baseline. It's like saying women act one way and men act another. You know, it's so broad.
Yeah.
Or children act a certain way and adult. You know, there's plenty of children that are way more mature than, you know, plenty of adults that are known, vice versa.
It's true.
Interesting. So learning a lot.
That is something you notice when you start watching, any type of entertainment.
Right.
It's like the younger they can get them, the earlier they can get them, and then they have their use for maybe, 5 years.
Shelf life.
And that's just for the women. And then they got to turn it over to the new crop of young ones.
Yep.
And
it's
very interesting.
And brutal. Forget, and I don't even touch this space at all, because I need to deal with, thoughts and stories, and that's why I do what I do. But just in the fashion world, it's just way up. But speaking of the fashion, there's a new show that came out on OWN, produced by Whoopi Goldberg, called Strut, and it's about a transgender talent agency agency. Yeah, it's groundbreaking. People have mixed feelings about it, which I will reserve. It's not too. I bet you have your own opinions about it, but I think it's really interesting. But in that space, I wish it just wasn't for fashion. You know what I mean? Because, again, and this is why I'm bringing it up, we're talking about limitation. So how long is the shelf life? I wish it was – well, and I could be wrong. There's only one episode. I should wait and see. But it appears to me that it's – that they just try to get promotional and – fashion modeling work. I don't know if it's much more in what's called, in my profession, legitimate or theatrical work. I don't know. It doesn't look like it to me, but it's only one episode. But that's great to bring that awareness. And also, unfortunately, but fortunately, to bring to light the stereotypes and the stigmas, the burden of stigma in the trans community. So it is a double-edged sword, but it's really great to show that the journeys and the human beings, because basically this is just, we're all in that human space, and I just don't understand why there's just so much contention. Because that other planet that's picking up that signal, we're picking up that signal, we talked about that, like... We're gonna be unified real quick if there's some other planet stuff going on. We're gonna be kumbaya real quick.
Well, I do want to segue into our phone calls at some point. We do have a couple hands raised.
I will take them.
But I wanted to kind of further the conversation a bit. I've been catching up on the Olympics, because I was on my cruise for the whole duration of the Olympics. And it used to be, I grew up being just so attached to, seeing both summer and winter games. And I know we've talked about this before, just where, as I've grown up and seeing the athletes, there's an Olympic vibe to that. I mean, that's a really big stage. That's a lot of attention. The stories tug at your heart because
they do.
Just about every single person there has had some type of crazy sacrifice, and it may not be necessarily financial, although that's in the States, that's definitely a consideration, because
there's so much subsidy, all the subsidies,
right?
Yeah,
not everyone can get in on the ground level and play a sport or be in a sport without having some kind of support throughout the years to get to that level of the elite athlete. But I've been watching just certain ones. I can't, I'm kind of glad I don't have all access to the whole, however many weeks, 2 weeks of it. But this time around, I'm looking at it, and just listening to the commentary, oh, well, like for the women, well, you know, she maybe has one more cycle in her, you know, to do it if she can come back. But,
wow.
And to be fair, you know, the way they train their bodies, that does take a toll. And so there will be a notable slip amongst, you know, the immortals that are the athletes, you know, from, you know, within 4 years, there could be, you know, if your body just gets to that point where, hey, we've been doing this since I was what, 11, you know, or, you know, so it does take a toll, but it's just very interesting, the sort of, you know, longevity that men, the male athletes can aspire to, even coming in and out of retirement, to come back and do it. Whereas the women, it's not usually the case, you know, very rarely are they looked at. And I'm not just talking about the Olympics. You know, as you know, soccer is my sport, so I follow that as well. And this is just commentary from, you know, Joe Schmoes on the message boards. And most of them are men who are watching the game, and they watch both male and female soccer, you know, matches. And they're like, yeah, you know, the women's team has to start looking younger. And because, you know, these people are like in their late 20s, and, you know, they're not going to be good for the next 4 years. Like, they're not going to make it to the next milestone event. And I'm thinking, you know, how can you have a career that ends at like 30?
Right. You know, there's a lot of
30,
life to live 31. After that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so no wonder people get, you know, these, not only athletes, but just anyone who's in that kind of spotlight from a younger age, when they're in their late teens, early 20s, they have a world at their feet, and then they have nothing. And that's why some of these stories, they came out of retirement because they didn't know what else to do. It's like a Shawshank Redemption, you know, like they don't know what to do. When I got all this spare time, nothing to look forward to. Michael Phelps hit rock bottom. After last Olympics in London, you know, had all kinds of negative publicity. You know, got a DUI, and he was like, "Yeah, he had to go to rehab. He just didn't know what else he wanted to do." And then decided to come out of retirement,
right?
And worked his butt off and finished off, you know, with this what was already a stellar career. But oh my God, you know, and he's 31 years old.
That's so young.
31.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And then the thing is that you're talking about that built-in that callers. We're gonna get to you, right. We're gonna just wrap this up. You have that shelf life, and then what do you do? So there's that crisis of reinvention, and then there's others. I know actors that had tremendous success before 30, and now 20 years later, they're still trying to recover. I have one friend of mine who was nominated for a Tony. He was in his 20s. He's now in his 50s. But he takes it in such good humor because he's always working, and I feel that it's going to come back, and there's going to be great, great things again for him. He's always working. He loves the craft. He's, to me, a master at everything that he does. And his joke is, don't you know who I was? which I think is the most gracious – the most gracious, there's no shame in his game, but I really do feel that he will have a resurgence. But you can do that as an actor, especially a male actor, more so. But, you know, what you're talking about, you know, whether it's you're an athlete or you're a fashion model, that's built-in limitations right there.
Yeah, and in the way we have been programmed, and that's probably the best phrase I can use for that, is to always look at the youth and just the potential. But very rarely are there uplifting, inspiring stories of, and I'm not talking about just people who are like, it's either like one end of the spectrum or the other, you know? And very rarely is it even the other end of the spectrum where it's someone who's like in their later years. But I think the focus has been so much on the potential and what you do when you're so young and you don't know what kind of mistakes you're going to make and you have to make them. I think that's been the story told over and over again in many different ways. And now But as a group, it's, you know, what about, so what do you do? I mean, how many people have, we all call that midlife crisis and the way it's normally dealt with in popular culture. But to really get into, no, these are some of the different things that you do have to look at and overcome. And it's almost like having to unprogram yourself, because the limitations that we put on ourselves, I mean, that's exactly what they are.
Right.
I mean, half the time you spend your youth not thinking you're good enough, or you have an overinflated sense of what you could probably get away with, but the
right.
substance isn't there. So by the time you get that substance, no one's looking at you anymore. And it's not, you know, I think we look at how it's not supposed to be dependent on outside factors. But there's a lot to be said. And then again, this is just looking at all the things I've seen on the Olympics, seeing this since I was, you know, 12, you know,
right.
of the stories. And you get that spotlight, that could be a 2-minute story, a 3-minute story. And everybody knows, you know, everybody knows you for that time and for the duration of the games. And if you did really well, if you medaled, then for a little bit longer after that. And it's interesting how people try to survive in between the Olympic years just to get back into that spotlight again. Like that's what they work in these 4-year increments.
Right.
And some work in those smaller increments until they get to the big stage like that. And that's why you feel that, like I worked all my life, you know,
right.
Everything I've done is for this one moment. I'm like, God, how sad. And you're 19 years old. That's your one moment. 19.
That's crazy.
You know, in the whole scope of things, that, I think that's the bigger picture is, so when you've reached a certain pinnacle, not the only one, but a certain pinnacle at that age, and you really don't, like, you're just excited to be around, you know, you're not, you don't have these like jaded, you know, life experiences where you're just, you know, it's a completely different perspective if we look at them maybe 15 years later. And
yeah.
In some cases, we have been able to do that. With some of these athletes, you know, there's one athlete who was 35 years old. He's a swimmer. He came out of retirement. He got his first gold medal
wow.
when he was 19. In the same event, he got his second gold medal in when he was 35.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
that
was a crazy.
Love me a comeback.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But still, even then, like, because you and I definitely older than 35, looking at that way.
Hell yeah.
But you're 35, and you're like an old man in this sport, but
yeah.
You are only 35. It's so, so crazy because we don't get to really appreciate, or we don't even know how to take in those kinds of stories. And I'm sure the tide is starting to turn a little bit, but because some of the programming is so inane. with just the stupid things that we would all do as youth. Now it's like, oh, let's just put a camera on it and broadcast it to the world because we need more of that. It's just so interesting, the things that are exploited as entertainment, and then when the real life stories happen, it's you know, it's a blip on the news, or it's a hashtag, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, and no one can. Very rarely can people address that particular issue or those particular issues if they've had a lifetime of not even looking at it in that context, not even being in that person's shoes. So it's anyway.
Let's take some calls
before we get really further down the rabbit hole here.
NPR presents the LOA blend.
I know.
Sometimes we forget what show this is.
Right. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Morning, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
What's going on?
Listening to conversation regarding what happens is I'm going to fall off the kind of like the bandwagon of life and think that this is all, you know, this is what I got to do in life and I don't know what to do after. My, you know, thought was my purpose. So I was just thinking about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They broke up, and it's like, yeah,
right.
And it's like because of pot smoking and drinking and going.
Well, alleged abuse against the children is what is really the
yeah.
issue.
Yeah, I just heard about, I didn't hear about that.
Well, that,
but
yeah, I mean, pot smoking and drinking, I mean, that's like, you know, your basic food group, but it's
yeah.
Yeah, it's more allegations of anger and abuse, which is why she allegedly wants full physical custody. So that's a
yeah.
whole other, you know, substance
yeah.
abuse, you know, it's the kids. It's the safety of the kids. Whole different
right, and
issue.
A,
yeah.
And I was thinking about there was a goalie that I heard of who made it big time. And within a year, he just started drinking and stuff like that.
Sad.
And when he came back,
mm-hmm.
he came back, and they wouldn't accept him because he just lost his, I don't know, his. And I hear that kind of like.
It's very
like
common.
Yeah, I'm going like, what happens with the loss of focus of what your purpose or your soul is intended to do? It's like, okay, what's happened after I made, you know, whatever millions of dollars? It's like, and I saw this actually in a documentary about Janis Joplin, I think, too, a while back, where I think it was a show and she was like making huge amounts of money after, and then she didn't know what to do with her success or something like that. And it's kind of interesting how that really plays with the brain in a way of, well, you lose kind of like focus of what you're intending to do, and then lose focus of maybe of you know, responsibilities and things like that. So it just it's kind of interesting that you're talking about this morning, actually. So
well, it's interesting that you're bringing it up, because when you think about people like the musicians, Janis Joplin, you know, who got a lot of attention because she probably just enjoyed singing, you know, just enjoyed it. And someone said, you know what, you can make you can make a lot of money doing that. And then all of a sudden, it's not her. It's not just her going out singing.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
there has to be a whole team of people to
oh,
arrange.
Yeah.
And then so that's where, you know, it's easy to lose focus because you're being torn in a million different directions, because now you got to make a living doing it. I think that's the pressure of having to perform it and be at your A game every single time, because if you don't, everyone's watching and they have enough to look at and compare. So this is the cycle that we're hoping to break out of, right? Where it's a pure form, and yet, you know, you're still able to live the life that you want to live. And I think there are people who at the moment, like, you know, like just after you won a gold medal and you're still, you know, just trying to get your breath, oh, it's everything, this is everything to me, you know, everything in the moment, and that's great. And then, guess what? Tomorrow, you got to recover. Do you have another race? Do you have another goal? I mean, so you get a lot of people, and from a numerology perspective, when we talk about goals, that number eight is a big influence. And a lot of people who end up having those eights, when I do readings for them, they are so driven, but they have to have something to look forward to. Because if they don't, then they get into trouble. You know, then they can use that power into stuff that isn't gonna, that doesn't put them in any better situation. It just sort of allows them to flex their muscles, so to speak. But it's pointless. But to your comment, there are a lot of other factors once you get to a certain level of success or attention that then demands your time. So there are people who step away after they've had a taste of it, because they're like, no, because that's not how I want my creativity to be handled. That's not the sort of music I want to make. I don't want to, you know, talk about selling your soul to the devil. Like, I don't want to have to do that to get my music heard, just so I can do what I perform and play the way I want to play, or to create the way I want to create. And that's why there are only a certain amount of people who can be, as we would call, successful, but in that kind of spotlight, because, you know, you have to kind of play that game. I mean, Liz, there's a reason why you don't like to do big mainstream movies, and why the independent route is, you know, is what you are more drawn to, because
right.
you've seen the other side, the sacrifice, the sorts of decisions that you have to make or that you can't make,
right?
You know, I feel like it can be so restricting, and all of a sudden this great idea gets so watered down that it's not anything that resembles what you looked at in the beginning.
Yeah, and yes, and what's weird is that I'm doing a studio film now, but it but they're calling themselves independent, but it's not because it's being paid for by a studio. And
right.
You're absolutely right. So I would never go on board as a producer. I don't want to. I'm just the casting person. And I am beholden.
Right.
You know, I'm collaborating, but not really. I'm beholden. It's because I'm dealing with the corporate space.
Right.
You know, and these people want to try their hand at quote-unquote independent filmmaking, but it's a studio film, and in the low-budget space to them, $500,000, you know, which, okay. But they do lots of Lifetime TV movies. That's what they're known for doing. But they want to get it. They want to get in the action with all the content that we have on Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon. You know, and it's so funny because, you know, there could be so much work for me, and I'm not even thinking about that. Like, and that's what I love. It's like, I don't even know if I want to, I'm not even thinking about the next one, you know? Like,
right.
I'm not even waiting for you to
right.
ask me because I'm just fully present and fully invested doing the work and giving opportunities. What's so beautiful, I have to say, and this is kind of where in the underdog space, where we're finalizing the cast now, and what's so beautiful on already on two roles, I've changed lives, meaning they would have never, if I didn't know who they were, they would have never gotten this, and it could really change because it's two big parts. And these are people that I've known for years from the theater, blah, 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 friends, whatever, and that's why I do it. That's the reward to show an aesthetic, and I'm showing these L.A. people that this what I do is an art. So with the other one that I turned down, you know, kind of saying, well, we'll just scout. No, you scout by yourself, and I see what I do as an art. So to still have that voice a little bit in that sort of, you know, alleged studio space, but there's so many mandates. It doesn't matter if they're calling themselves independent. It's not. It's studio. To deal with the mandates, but to still be sort of like that blade of grass through that cracked cement, you know, and to get the phone call from the actor saying, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to thank you if I ever win anything. I'm like, oh, shut up. But that's where you find the reward, that, wow, you made a difference. You changed somebody's life. You know, and these are actually two women of color, and both women, I think they're both in their early 40s. So there we go, full circle moment, boom, full circle moment on the LOA blend. So that's where I can sort of go in and do my little, you know, stealthy moves, you know, in the wings, unnoticed.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a
Robin Hood. Seriously, yeah, that's a little Robin Hood accent.
And it still goes back to, you know, like what is the most important thing? And when you're young, I think the most important thing sometimes is to feel like everybody accepts you,
right?
And that you have. I mean, that's what I thought. It was like, oh, it's popularity, but within that, it's this level of thinking that you're accepted. And clearly, if you look at what is put out there, you would think it's a major issue with our society, that there's a lot of neglect and this level of, oh, well, we just don't care. And only if you're the best do I want to look at you. And that's unfortunate. I think it's important when you do have other outlets that maybe don't have that corporate backing or that popular backing, because there's so many other strings attached that the message gets watered down so much that it's the same message you've heard before. You know, it's something that sounds very familiar because that it's gone through the same process. That waters everything down and almost sucks the soul out of it, so it ends up looking exactly like everything else you've seen since you were a kid.
Right.
So when you do see those that blade of grass through the cracks of cement, that's when you start to pay attention. yeah. that survived all of that. And it's still it's still growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can appreciate that.
We do what we can.
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway. So, Jay, you still with us?
I'm still with you. I'm just listening to the conversation.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And just checking with you because we have 20 minutes. Anybody else in the queue or on deck or anybody in the chat room that needs our attention?
We got a couple more hands raised. So
all right,
you know,
so
we can move on.
So Jay, thank you for popping in, and we're going to take care of some other calls.
Okay, so catch you on Friday. So.
Oh, yes. Is that when I'm doing your reading? Then I am. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll catch you Friday night.
Oh, yay.
I have a date with Jay Friday night, and he's getting
nice.
The Sage special, you know, so getting the Sage discount. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that I can, you know, spend a few moments with him. Yeah, honey, catch you Friday, if not before. And,
yes,
definitely. And, so we will, as a matter of fact, if you don't mind, if you could send me an email, because we have to figure out how we're doing this, phone, Skype, however you want to do it. So if you can send me an email, that would be great, and then we'll confirm and set it all up. But thank you so much, and, look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, look forward to it too. It's great. So
yeah, honey,
it'll be an honor.
Cool.
Yeah, we're gonna have a session. I'm
all
gonna
right.
have a session. Okay. Anyway, and I'll be very professional because you know on the air it's free range, but when it's a reading, it's a private reading, I dial it back. Okay, because it's about you. You'll see. Your time.
All right. Well, back to free range, Liz. On the LOA.
Chicken one and chicken two.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll get to the next couple calls, but just in comment to the sage, I actually burned some more of Jay's sage in the damaged minivan.
Good girl.
And it's already we got. I got a check.
See? I'm telling you, Jay Sage is everything. I'm so spoiled.
I
like
know,
the life, Jay. Sorry.
We
got to work out something. Sorry. No.
I found a company that will that's going to take care of what they can take care of. They'll probably see more stuff that's probably going to tip the damage scale into hopefully what I would think would be totaled. So that's my hope. So because there's a part of me that just doesn't want to deal with that van anymore. I love it,
right.
But I think it's time.
No, that's
and
a bad
then,
juju. There's some bad juju. Yeah, gotta keep it moving.
And then the towing. I mean, that mechanic shop also has going ahead and did take care of issuing out a tow truck.
Right.
So it's now out of my driveway. And
see, that's good, and I think keep that driveway clear. Just not meant to have stuff on it. You got to lay low. Your neighborhood's blowing up because it's not considered Atlanta like the city. See how I know things? Yeah, you got keep it clear.
Yeah.
You got to kind of lay low. That's great, and I'm telling you, Jay Sage is so. It's beautiful. It's sacred. It's amazing. We're spoiled. I can't look at any other. It's like once you taste like a certain type of brand of food or something, you're like, no. Sorry, no. Yeah. Sorry, Jay. So, yeah, we always have to work out something because I'm on bundle number two. Bundle number two.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So let's take
care
of some of these calls.
All right. We got two more calls here. It's call number one. Lolita, good morning. How are you?
Where's
she's
very
quiet. I don't know.
Hello, Doug.
She could be doing something.
Where you at?
All right. We'll come back, Lolita.
Okay.
And this
she's
one,
probably cooking for like 20 people.
She could be.
She's designing new uniforms for the store. And she's painting a mural. And she's doing her pujas. Okay.
You're right.
What else is she doing?
Hey, Tessa. This is Tessa.
Oh, we got Tessa now? Good. Okay. We're going to move over to our beautiful friend. Hi, gorgeous. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How you guys doing?
We're doing it.
All
okay.
right.
Stop. Is that LL Cool J? Oh, my God. That song? Okay, I can't. That LL Cool J song from back in the day, that's been in my... I kept, when we were on set on Thursday, that was like the joke on set because it was so busy. We're like, I'm doing it, do it. And then we just start, and then we're just, okay, anyway, let me stop.
You're doing it.
Doing it. You know when you can't get a song out of your head? There we go. What's up with you, sweetheart?
Does Jay have a website that he sells his stage on? Because I'm trying to find stage from
that's
somebody else.
That's so funny.
Or
Tessa,
you know,
oh my
God!
When you were when we were talking about the sage, I was thinking to myself, he really needs to market that sage. And then I'm like laughing to myself, and now you're saying that. So he so graciously a while back gifted us, like it was like so thoughtfully and beautifully done, but I think that's definitely something for Jay to think about or what have you, or we'll put you guys in touch with each other. Why don't you send us an email to LOA Blend, and I don't know Jay's email by heart, and I don't want to give out information over the air, and I will introduce you guys by email, and then you guys can take it from there. But yeah, we talk about it all the time. So obviously, I love that. See, word of mouth.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. Email the show, and I'll get you guys together.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So, check. Okay. So that's off the list. Boom. Okay. Go ahead, sweetheart. How else can we assist you today?
I just want to get a message for this morning.
Love to do that. All right, beautiful. I'm doing it. Okay. Let me stop.
Oh boy.
I'm not getting that song stuck in my head. That's what I'm not going to
do. I need to stop it. You know, Elisa, if it wasn't for that, I would still listen to this show. What? Can you please do your own show? I can't stand her.
Oh my
right.
gosh. Oh my gosh. Just. Where's that mute button? Let me put a mute button on.
Go ahead. Mute me.
All right.
Oh, I love you so much. All right. All right, sister friend. I'm ready when you guys. Let me just please. She's delirious. All right, I'm ready. Okay. Ooh. Now, this is interesting because this is a two digit number. Weird. And these are very rare for these messages, and that the number for this is 85.
Not the year.
What happened? Why are you laughing?
I was born in 85, so I always see that number a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so I really want you to receive this message. Your awareness has the miraculous ability to see past the surface of pain's illusion, delving deeper into mystical knowledge and transcendence. Hello? I'm going to read it again because I think, you know, because now you're in a safer, and that's the first word that's popping in my head, okay? So it's not literal, it's just what the energies come in, Tessa. But you're in a safer environment. Doesn't mean that you were in danger before, but safer in terms of being vulnerable. You no longer feel exposed, so therefore you can be vulnerable and build a new foundation for yourself. And when that happens, then what was sort of on hold can start to surface, like your gifts. And I'm not talking about you as an artist, because that's a given, but I'm talking about the mystical side of you, which is incorporated in your artwork, but what you're going to do in terms of a modality, like a healing modality. That's what I'm getting from this. Let me read this again, and then I want to also hear what Elisa has to say. Your awareness has the miraculous ability to see past the surface of pain's illusion, delving deeper into mystical knowledge and transcendence. 85.
Well, I like that she likes that 85. It ends up being a 4, but that 4 is made up of this manifesting very powerful number of the 8, energy of the 8, and also a powerful energy of the 5, which is its own sort of transformation, right? It's about growth and expansion and adventure and experience. So when you combine, and in fact, even those two numbers together, it can be such a dynamic duo that there can be great great accomplishments, and that, or it can just they can kind of butt up against each other, you know, where 8 thinks it's got to be done a certain way, and 5 is like, I don't know about that. I just know something just has to happen. You know, it can be they can get probably the lower end of the vibration for both of those numbers. And there'll still be some remarkable things, maybe just not good remarkable things that happen, but you're still, you know, you're still creating. And as a result of whatever those two combinations do, when anything ends up equaling a 4, that sets the foundation for the next thing that you will be creating. You're creating on that foundation. So obviously, you know, you would like to start off on a good foot and continue to build and grow on what will be a very solid foundation. Or at least the word I was thinking was fixable, but more like trainable, you know, adaptable. You know, at least there's enough solid information to work on. So when we're talking about this, and you know, one of the words here is, you know, like miracles and the miraculous ability. So this is, you don't tend to think of it as being like an inside job, but as you know, a lot of anything that comes out of you, I mean, it has to come from within you. You know, anything that you produce comes from within you. So a lot of people, for example, don't see all the things that go into the art that you produce. And they can appreciate, I mean, everyone has a different eye when it comes to art. They can appreciate the colors that you've used. They can appreciate the theme. But they unless they talk to you or unless they commission something from you, and even then they still have to, you know, they may not get the whole story. They may not know what inspired you. You know, what kind of dots did you connect within yourself to put something out there that looks like that and that inspires whatever it is that they're feeling. You know, there's not going to be necessarily a direct correlation. Although I think when you find people who get your art, you know, in whatever way that's supposed to mean, like however they, if they're moved by it and the way they mirror what, you know, what you're trying to do, and they mirror that back to you, and you're like, wow, they really get it. Yeah, I'm sure you have those moments where mm-hmm. that person picked up on every little nuance. Or as many as you've ever heard, and you're like, wow, you really get my work. That's a sort of, that's really, it's still for you, obviously. It is for you. Like they get the copy. It's kind of interesting. They get the copy, which is still an original piece of work. But you have that. You have everything within you. That's the original still within you. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, so it isn't about. It isn't about the stuff that you put on the outside, although that's still part of you, but it all comes from the inside. And the more, and especially as an artist, the more you see that, and it doesn't matter, you know, most artists work from a place of pain, and that's partly why they do it, you know, because, you know, there's some deep stuff in there. And in doing so, you hope that it releases something so that you don't have to continue mulling it over. But even that, especially that was from within you, and it's something to appreciate and to acknowledge and to say, ah, okay, that's part of who I am or who I was, and kind of circle it back to a quote. I actually wrote this down, Liz. Don't you know who I was?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? I love that.
You know, I think you can look at some of your creations, and you know, that was who I was, and now look at who you are. When you look in the mirror now, and that's current. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to wipe away all that stuff, but all that stuff was part of who you were. So the mysteries and all of that you dive into all the time, and I agree with Liz that there's more to come up, and if it's going to be something that takes into a form of a modality, you know, don't be surprised, but just be appreciative. Just work with it. Continue to let it take its form, just like you would let your art take its form. And let that stuff come up, because it's important. It's going to be not only for the people that you help, but really for you. It's a great message.
Oh, yes, it is. Because, like, when was it, Thursday? Thursday was just like one of those days I had like a little funky day, and I wasn't trying to fight like whatever I was feeling that day, but it was like just going through the motions. And I was telling my sister, like, some days I just, one thing, like, I guess, like, the path or the journey, whatever people want to call it, like, some days you just want to just get off of it. Like, I don't want to go forward. Mm. I want to go back. But I just want to go back.
Get off that train.
I didn't know nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it seemed like it was so much easier some days when I was, like, I wasn't interested in all that stuff and about myself. And now it's like I kind of can't not go through with it. You got to go all the way through with it now, because I know it's something more. And now, like, some days I just feel like my head is about to explode. And my sister was like, well, you know, you just can't let it consume you. And I was like, but that's what I feel like it's doing. Like, I can't stop it. And I was like, but I just know it's something, and I guess I'm interested in learning it. I want to know it, but I have to be patient, because, you know, I feel like it's not going to happen, so I'm ready for it to happen. Like, it can't just drop all on me at one time. And, just that message, it makes me hopeful. Like, it makes me, you know that my patience is going to pay off, and that, you know, I'm surrounded by my mom, and I feel like she always has understood me. Like, I remember her telling me, like, as a kid about a veil, like, one of us was born with a veil and all this stuff on our face, and I'm like, what is this lady talking about? It's not like it's going to scare her, opposed to when I was with my dad. Mm. Like, he probably looked at me like I'm crazy or something.
Right.
Like, my mom always has been, like, pretty much, I guess, it's something that she's searching for, too. So I think that's why we're together.
Your face.
And so it's not going to be something that I have somebody here with me that can understand me and, you know, help me figure this out. And when I'm talking to her, she's not thinking that she needs to go ahead and call Greenleaf to get me checked in or something.
Right, exactly.
So I'm very appreciative of, like, where I'm at now.
And yes, it's great.
That definitely
helps
me. So
that's great.
That's the message for the day.
Yes, girl.
Yeah.
And call us back. And, you're exactly where you need to be. And, the key word is just tell yourself, I'm safe. Doesn't mean you're in danger, but you want to claim that that you're safe to explore those things that you've been resisting. And you'll find that the resistance is way more exhausting than the exploration. That's the crazy irony. That's the irony of all of it. So I'll leave you with that little piece, my friend.
Well, thank you, ladies.
All right, honey.
You're welcome.
Love you. Do we have one more waiting?
Well, it's still Lolita, so I don't know if...
Well, let's check in with her.
Going.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's up to you. We can check in with her real quick.
Listen, I just had my phone on mute. That's the reason why I couldn't get through.
I knew she was doing something.
And I'm like, I said, oh, my God, my phone's on mute. But it's okay.
So we just wanted to circle back and check in with you. So, hi, beautiful. How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
So cool.
Yes. Is there anything on your mind in our last moments on the air? Anything we can do?
I'll take a message.
Okay, let's do it. And it's a great way to close out the show. So let me just give me half a second to pull this up. Okay. All right, ready when you guys are.
Thanks.
Okay. The number for this is 530. Here's the message. To be polarized by pleasing others or constantly judging is allowing resistance to weave its way into the fabric of your being. Let go now. And isn't that funny? Because we just talked about a second ago with Tessa that the resistance is far more exhausting than just exploring and being in discovery. So interesting that resistance is coming up again. I'll read it one more time. To be polarized by pleasing others or constantly judging is allowing resistance to weave its way into the fabric of your being. Let go now. And the number is 530.
Well, we're still dealing with another 8, you know, and there's a 5 in there. So we're still looking at what you're manifesting, right? And now this is made up of 3 different numbers. And you think, oh, that 0 at the end really doesn't factor in, but it does, because that 0 is like this extra protection from source as a reminder. Like, you know, you got this, and it doesn't matter because it's nothing that you have to get. You know, you're in it. And like the source of all things that Tessa creates is from within, that think of that 0 as that encompasses everything. The 5 and the 3 stand out because this 5 has to do with this idea of being in your body and experiencing. And then the 3 is talking about this communication and expression of who that person is at any given moment. So this is what you're manifesting. And so when you're looking at the heart of that message, both pleasing others and then judging, a lot of people do both. Like you judge when you feel like you're trying to protect yourself and you, like, you just don't want to get, you kind of want to get the upper hand on anybody who may criticize you. And then the pleasing others is to get that acceptance, which is really what you were wanting to do in the beginning. It's what you wanted all along. And we all know that acceptance isn't really necessarily going to be quelled by any outside. It won't be enough. You can have 1,000 people love you, or you feel like you get accepted, but you still be looking over your shoulder like, well, what about the other, you know, 6 billion people on the planet that I haven't, you know, been able to connect with? You know, at any given moment, I could just be not enough, and I can't have that. You know, so there's that. And I know for you that's not the case, but it's an understanding that's where a lot of people are.
Yes.
And so there's that being able to see that, and not that you have to fix it, but to be able to see it. And at some point, I think when we see that around us, there's an opportunity to maybe show the other person, and in being that example, however
right.
that ends up, because sometimes you could be that example and it rubs them the wrong way.
Yep.
And it's, you know, not yours to fix. It's just like if it gives them notice, then that's on them to figure out how that's supposed to go. And you can offer
right.
a perspective, but it's not going to be theirs to fix or yours
right.
to fix.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't control. Can't. What's coming in, as Elisa was saying, everything that I'm gripping every word, it's so perfect. You can't control the trigger. You can't control how you know what I mean? That's what I'm getting very strongly, which is why I'm jumping in here. Does that make sense? Oh, she laughing. Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We haven't talked since James left, and I did ancestral imprints and past life imprints and present imprints, karmic imprints, and I couldn't tell you how much freer I feel in so many ways in my physical body. My thoughts don't even come the same way
wow, beautiful.
Anymore. to an example, the universe gave me showed me an example interaction with my mother last week, actually, on earlier this week, actually.
Uh-huh.
And it was something that I was sharing with her. I said, hey, Mom, let's say this mantra instead of this. So my first time in my life, I didn't have the need or the feel of that story of trying to speak out
uh-huh.
or make a point.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. And
right.
I let it go.
Nice.
And I ended the conversation, and I drove in the car by myself in silence, and I was, like, really kind of in tears because I was really happy to see and witness this movement
within
me.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it mm-hmm. doesn't affect me anymore.
Yay.
And I felt so much freer. Like, that
right.
ancestral stuff really, I was in the bed, stuck to my bed for a couple of days after they
sure.
all left.
Sure, sure.
Because I was able to process and do my own thing because, you know, I was, you know, making sure I had a whole week of people at my house.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So,
that's a lot to come down
yeah,
from, sure.
Yeah, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was, you know, I woke up and sweats, and even to the point where my pee is even changing because of the cleansing of the body and the DNA. Yeah, it's really interesting, right? I had to call James and say, is this normal? He was like, yeah, if you're, when you're releasing that much.
I feel
and,
so close to you.
I know.
We'll talk about it all. No, but that's you. That's great. And you know, when you said you feel so free, and again, going to that point with the resistance is so exhausting, but we don't even realize it because we're so fully present in that resistance, you know, and to be fully present
also,
in yourself. Go ahead.
I think we're also because we're so wired from the beginning, if you think about it, most people
yeah.
don't get to this point until their soul is tired. And once you recognize it, the resistance starts to
right.
decrease and decrease, right?
Yeah.
That's the normal way of living. But when you live on this different path, it's a very
right.
different story
right.
At the end of the day. So, but
right.
that ancestral, man.
Good for you.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything. And then And another test came, when you said trigger, another test came up yesterday.
Right.
And my dad actually went through 10 chemo treatments, actually. And we
oh,
made
wow.
a decision, me and my sister, that we're not going to say anything to anybody. So out
right.
of the blue, I get this email from my dad sending it to everybody in the family after his treatments were over. So I'm really proud of him of listening to,
mm-hmm.
you know, of not mentioning it to nobody because,
mm-hmm.
you know, families don't think on the same path. But
mm-hmm.
then it also caught me off guard because there is that he mentioned my sister, but not anything to do with me. And I had to really sit with that yesterday. So that while we're on the phone, I'm actually doing something to lessen that trigger.
Good.
I still keep up. Yeah, so it's awesome. It's all good.
Of course. As you are. So, yay.
Oh.
Well, love
yeah.
Love getting that update and that you can really coalesce the impact of hosting James and his wife and all the work that you've done in your own. And, you know, it's like a portal to phase two. That's something else. I don't know what that means. I just came in. Whatever that means. It's like a portal to phase two. Explain that, Lucy. One day you will. Anyway, yeah, good for you. So, yeah, love hearing from you, our third co-host. And please continue to check in with us. And love to you and Adam and everybody.
You got it. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you.
All right.
Bye.
Great.
Bye.
Such interesting conversations all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're good to
mm-hmm.
sign off now?
We are.
Fabulous. Great. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Wonderful show today, as always. And in the meantime, remember to follow
the feeling.
to you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you so much. Love you.
Love y'all.
Bye.